Well, good morning, Fairhaven Church. Great to see you. If you are a guest, we're so glad that you're here. We recognize that every week we have guests at any one of our campuses, and I just want you to know that we're so glad that you're here. We hope that you find love and acceptance and grace, and we want to give you truth through God's word, and so thank you for being here. I want to welcome our Springboro campus and our Northmont campus, our Beaver Creek campus, Classics, and all those that are right here in Centerville. It's really, really good to have you here today. We are going to continue in this series. It's a three-week series, Deep Down, but before we do that, we're going to go old school here for a minute. We're going to go bring back the suggestion box. How many of you know what a suggestion box is, right? Where you get to make a suggestion. And in fact, you get to participate in a series that we're going to be doing in October where your small groups, we're inviting you to be in small groups. And if you're not in one, we'd love to get you in one because we believe a lot happens when we get into a circle. But the suggestion box is open for you because what we're going to do is try to answer questions that you have or your friends have or family members may have. We're going to look in God's word and open them up and see what we can get some answers to in those questions, and then you can discuss them and apply them in your own small group. And so we're calling the series Let's Talk About It, and so we want to talk about a variety of different things, and so we're going to ask you to formulate your questions or ones that you've heard from some of your friends, people that are not even in the church perhaps that you have questions about that you would like to look into God's word, and we want to do that. So here's some questions that you could submit, questions about God or faith or things you don't understand about God. There's a lot that we don't understand because he's obviously wiser, greater than we are, but we can look into God's word and he can describe for us who God is. Topics that you want to learn more about. There may be some topics related to the culture or different things that you may want to look into God's word together and then in your small group. And so you can certainly do that. And the way to do that is by texting the word ask to 32,000. It's a text app that we use. And so you can do that. That's an easy way to do that. And then you can just put your question in, or if it, during the week something comes to mind, you can use the app or you can use the website. It's right there at the bottom, and just click it, and we'd love to get your questions and so forth. And so help us out with that, because this is your opportunity to put something into the suggestion box. We are in week two of a series called Deep Down. And the series is really about the fact that many of us look great on the outside. I mean, just look around. You look great, church. It's amazing, you know. And yet, even though we look great and things seem to be okay and we can manufacture a smile, there might be some things that's deep down inside that is very unsettling. And it turns out by the research that there is. And so we're going to tackle week two today. If you missed last week, we talked about how we can trust in God and how that was really, really significant and important. And so today we're going to look at a subject called hope, because hope is equally as important in our life. And so we're going to talk about that. But I want to start out by this here. Did you know that it's hard to go through a day without using the word hope? Think about that for a second. It's really, really hard for you to go through a day, and in fact, listen to it if you can this week, as you'll hear people say it in a variety of different settings, because it's hard to go through a day and not have somebody use the word hope. And here's the reason why. There are two different kinds of hope. And so today, we're going to look at both of those. The first one real quickly, because it doesn't really matter. And the second one is biblical hope, and we're going to really dive in and look at what one of the authors of the New Testament tells us about hope. It's really, really phenomenal. So that's one of the reasons why we use the word hope all the time, because we use it in the context of the first ordinary hope, I'll call it, as opposed to biblical hope. And it looks something like this as we go through the week. Our lives are shaped, and our lives are directed, our lives are motivated, our lives, frankly, even frustrated by hope, especially if you're talking about the, you know, original kind of ordinary hope that we have as humans. It looks something like this. Let me show you what ordinary hope looks like. When we say things like this, I hope we make it on time. And some of us are saying, well, you just need to leave a little earlier. Right? Some of you had a hard time getting to church, and maybe it's because of traffic or whatever. And so, you know, I hope we make it on time. Here's another one. I hope it doesn't rain, although we've had a lot of rain in the community. You know, sometimes we say that during the day, right? Because we've got plans, and so I hope it doesn't rain today. We say, I hope it's not cancer. We're waiting to hear back from a physician or from their office. We're waiting for the test results, and we say, I hope it's not cancer. We say things like, I hope they understand. I hope they understand because of the situation and circumstance that took place. I don't know what that circumstance would be, but we say things like, I hope they will be okay, because perhaps you responded in a way that was less than what you wanted, or perhaps you said something in a relationship. I hope he isn't angry because of my actions or the things that I've said. I hope that she still loves me based on a relationship and so forth. I hope that I'm doing the right thing. I want you to look at all of these for just a second. If we had time, I'd actually turn to the person next to you and see if we could get some understanding about all of these here. But there's one thing that makes all of these statements uniform. Anybody want to take a guess at it? In any one of our campuses online, you can just type it in if you want. I'll give it to you. Uncertainty. Look at all of these. It's all uncertain. I hope they understand, because we're not certain about that. I hope we get there on time, because I don't know. I might be late. I hope I'm doing the right thing, because we're uncertain about what the right thing is. I hope she's not, you know, angry, or she still loves me, because we're uncertain. The difference between ordinary hope and biblical hope is centered somewhere around this here. In fact, let me say it this way. Hope, in its ordinary form, is full of uncertainty. I hope, I hope, I hope. We say that all the time. However, biblical hope is distinctly different, and I want to show you. I want to start out before we look into the New Testament. Hope you brought a Bible with you or a device. We'll give you one. We say it all the time. But I want to give you a definition of biblical hope, because it's so different than ordinary hope. When we go through the day and say, I hope this, I hope that. You know, when we say those things, it's kind of like, well, my fingers are crossed, you know, and I'm really wishing, it's wishful thinking, or the odds are in my favor. You know, that's the kind of hope that ordinary hope is. Biblical hope is very, very different. It's vastly different. It's distinctively different. So let me give you a definition. And so let's start here. And in fact, we'll come back to this definition, because as we look into the scriptures, we'll see that the definition of biblical hope is seen through a variety of different ways. And so make sure you catch this. Make sure you see this. Take a screenshot if you want, or write it down. Here's what biblical hope is. Biblical hope is confident expectation of something good in the future. If you read from cover to cover from in the Bible, all the way in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, I mean, hope is talked about so many times. In the New Testament, if you were to turn to Romans, you'll see it like 13, 17 times, depending on the translation. You could go to Acts 13 times in Acts. In Hebrews, many times, 9, I think, or 7, I think, in Hebrews. And so it's all through the Bible that we talk about hope, and it's a confident expectation. We'll come back to this because of this word good here. Because some of you are wrestling even right now thinking, well, I've been expecting God to come through and it hasn't been good. How do you square that in your life? And we'll get to that, because the writer of Hebrews, that we'll be in just a second here, gives us some insight as to what biblical hope is, and to make sure that we understand that at the tip of the arrow of our hope, it's placed in the right spot. And so we'll understand that a little bit. Secondly, biblical hope doesn't come natural. See, original hope or ordinary hope comes natural. I hope she's not mad. I hope I'm not late. I hope it doesn't rain. That comes natural to us. We say it every day. Biblical hope does not come natural for us. That's why we're talking about it today. As a matter of fact, that's why the psalmist in Psalm 42 says this, hope in God. Centered around all of that, he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him in my salvation and my God. There's an uplifting that takes place. There's an attitude change. There's a focus change there. There's a difference, because it's like the eyes are down on life until you lift them up and say, my hope is in God. And in Psalm 42, you'll see it's actually twice. The psalmist is almost preaching himself a message or a talk, that he's saying, as I go through the day, when my head is down toward life, it looks like things are not so good, and wow, my heart is depressed and it's hard. But when I lift up my eyes and I look, my hope is in God, things change. And I hope that that happens for you today. I hope that in some way, some situation, some circumstance, a relationship, something in your life, that today your head will be lifted and you will say out loud, because we're going to do this at the end, I hope in God. And in fact, I want to challenge you to preach that message to yourself all week long. I hope in God. When your head gets down and things are looking tough, I hope in God. Lift your head up is exactly what the psalmist is saying. As a matter of fact, that's why here at Fairhaven Church, I don't know if you've ever seen this or not before, but let me show it to you. Anybody ever see this before? Yeah, right? It's everywhere. It's all over the place. It's on our cars. It's on the doors. It's everywhere. It's on our website. It's on the app. It's, you know, it's everywhere. We talk about it almost every single week. We want here at Fairhaven for everybody to find hope, because when we hope in God, our life changes. When we hope in God, the landscape changes. Am I right, church? When we hope in God, our minds and our hearts are brought to a different place. And so this is not about promoting Fairhaven Church. So if you're a guest here, we have no interest in promoting Fairhaven Church. We only have an interest in helping people to understand that when you look for hope, you can find hope in Jesus Christ, because our hope is in God. That's why we make stickers for your windows, and there's many of these that have been given out. Several years ago, we gave out thousands of these on one weekend where we said, take them, put them on your cars. And so I want to just say to you today, if you don't have one, or if you've got another car, go grab another one at the welcome desk. We've got many more coming next week in all of our campuses. Don't worry, we'll have some for you if we run out. But take one of these and put it on your car, not because you're promoting a particular church. You're promoting a spiritual truth. We hope in God. Is that right, church? Amen. And so grab one of those if you want, because we say it all the time. The research is the reason why we're doing this series. The research tells us that many Americans are looking for, in their spiritual lives, they're looking for inner peace, and they're looking for hope. It must be that they don't understand hope. It must be that some of us don't understand hope. And as I've been studying and looking at this, boy, my heart has been changed. I mean, let's get on the good side of this, because 35% of Americans today who say that they have some spirituality in their life are struggling finding hope in their life. They have a lack of hope. That means that about 35% of all of our campuses, Northmont, Springboro, Beaver Creek, Classics, right here at Centerville, 35% of us at some level have a lack of hope. So how do we understand biblical hope in the context of all the things that we say? Boy, I hope, you know, I hope she does okay. I hope he'll pass that. I hope they'll be safe this week. I hope all those things that is so different than biblical hope. So grab your Bibles and let's take a look. Let's see if we can figure out what biblical hope really looks like, because the writer of Hebrews tells us, as I mentioned, you can see it all through scripture, but I wanted to find at least one spot that gave us a really, really good foundation. And turns out Hebrews chapter 6 is a great foundation for you and I to understand what biblical hope is all about. Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll pick it up in verse 9. Let me tell you why we pick it up in verse 9. Because in chapter 1 of Hebrews, the writer says, Jesus is supreme. Come on, church. You okay with that so far? Amen. Jesus is supreme. In other words, here at Fairhaven, we want to make sure that it's Jesus Christ that we center our lives on. Chapter 2, the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus is better than Moses. He's better than any of the ancient prophets. He's better than all of that. It goes on to talk about the fact that there are people in chapter 6, verse 1, we're not going to read it, but verse 1 says that there are people who understand that. There are people that know that. There are people that can actually recite that. There are people that look like they're spiritual. And at some point, I think the writer of Hebrews is saying, when hope is lost, they drift away. They lose interest. Their faith disintegrates, or it shrinks at least. And they find themselves isolated and not in community and gone. Have you seen that? I think it's true. I think the writer of Hebrews is right in that there are a lot of us that we know about what God says. We know about who God is. And at times in our lives, if we lose hope, that's why this is so important, it'll cause us to drift and cause us to back away and cause us to lose interest in God. And so today I'm hoping that your eyes will be lifted. And at the end, you'll scream it out with me. I hope in God. That's what we're going to say at the very end here as we look. In Hebrews chapter 6, the writer of Hebrews gives us four aspects of biblical hope that I hope you'll look at with me today. And let's see if we can understand it. Let's take a look. Let me read it for you. Beginning in verse 9, after the writer says, some people are going to fall away. But then he says, but not everybody. Not everybody. Here it is, verse 9. Though we speak in this way, talking about the fact that some people look spiritual, but they're really not because they drift away, yet in your case, so he's talking to you because you're here. You're here in any one of our camps online. You're here. So he's talking to us. Beloved, we feel sure of better things. So right away, we can see here that our definition is working so far. That biblical hope is a confident expectation that things will be good in the future. I'll lay that out a little bit for us. Better things. Things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust as so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end. You may want to underline that in your Bible. The full assurance of hope until the very end, so that you may not be sluggish or lazy, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Like those that have gone before you. And so the writer of Hebrews starts out right away and wants to make it very, very clear as we're thinking about biblical hope. Here's number one, if you want to write this down. As we talk about biblical hope, number one is this, that it is placed in someone, not something. And sometimes we get that mixed up because if you're here and you've had a loss of expectation where it seems like God didn't come through, it might be that the expectation that we had was placed on something, and that something didn't come through or didn't happen the way we want it to, and we have to remind ourselves today, catch this, our hope is in a person. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in him so much that we trust him, we trust what he'll do, we trust what he'll allow, we trust what he'll do to help us to get the courage to go through things. Our biblical hope is placed in someone, not something. And I think we get off track when all of a sudden we even are claiming, watch this, we even claim that we want God to bring healing perhaps in this area. Nothing wrong with wanting healing. But it's very easy to lose track that we want something from Jesus rather than wanting Jesus. So I want to bring us back to the very beginning to say, biblical hope is found in just placing your hope in Jesus. That's the tip of the arrow. And so back away for a second. If you're asking him for something, don't stop asking. I'm just saying don't put all of your expectation in that. Put your expectation in Jesus, because later on we'll see that God is good. Anybody believe that today? And so if he's good, he knows something that I don't know, that you don't know. And so be careful that we don't land our expectations. Let's back up. Our biblical hope is placed in Jesus. That's why Paul said these words to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, as he's writing a letter to this young pastor. He says this. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, so he identifies himself, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. Right away, he tells Timothy, look, Timothy, as you're doing your thing and as you pastor, just make sure you understand that your hope is centered on a person. It's Jesus Christ. Not what he can do for you, it's Jesus Christ. Trusting that what he does, he knows what's best. That's a hard concept to get over. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul is talking to a church, not unlike Fairhaven, and he writes these words, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So your hope and your glory in your life and in your spiritual life is found in Jesus. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I want you to look at something with me in verse 9. Verse 9 says this, that the writer of Hebrews is saying, you're not like all those people that are walking away and drifting away. You're not like that. That's what he's saying here to the people he's talking to. And then he says, don't worry, things will get better. Boy, I'd really like to know what that is. And then he says, things that belong to salvation. What belongs to salvation? What are the things that belong to salvation? Well, let's try it out together. I think you'd agree with me that the things that belong to salvation mean that you and I have the opportunity to be saved from ourselves. Are you with me so far, church? And so because of the wrong sin in my life and in your life, the penalty for that wrong is death. And so the things of salvation are that you and I need to be saved from that. And so what Jesus did is he came because of the love of the Father, John 3:16. And so Jesus came and he died on that cross for you and for me in order that the penalty would be taken care of, in order that we could be brought into right relationship with God, so that we could be free of all the wrong, even though we make mistakes along the way. As we are free from all the wrong in our lives, then we're promised a life that's beyond this life that's going to be phenomenal forever and ever and ever. And that life is going to have no tears, no struggles, no problems, no knee braces, no knee surgery. I've had two of them, so I don't have any more room for any more. There's none of that. It's going to be great. It will get better. But you see, we have to focus in this life on the things that belong to salvation. Death. And Jesus' freedom, and eternal life, and free from all of that in our life. See, the first thing we learn about biblical hope is that it is placed in a person, not in something. I think that will help us today, because you may have come, and 35% of you probably came with a sense that you lack some hope in your life, and it might be because you're placing your hope in something, and that something is not coming through for you, and that's breaking the expectation that you have. It's really important that we see this. I want you to notice something here, that this biblical hope that we have in Jesus is rooted in God's character. If we had time, I could go through and talk about all of God's character, but let me just mention some. I mean, he's holy, he's righteous, he's good, he's loving, he's filled with grace for you, for me, he's all-knowing, he knows what next week's gonna look like. Aren't you glad your hope is in God? He knows what next week is. He knows the situations that you face. He knows the decisions you need to make. He knows the struggles that you have with your kids or your grandkids. He knows the fact that you may want to be married and you're single and you're wondering, where is that and all of that? Some of you may be in a relationship and it's a struggle right now. He knows all of that because of his character. He's ever present. You cannot outrun him. You cannot go someplace where he isn't. He's ever present. He's all powerful. It's just amazing, the character of God, the faithfulness of God. See, one of the beauties, I think, let me talk to those of you that are online. I think one of the beauties about being in person, although we can do it online too, is that you can hear each other's stories. You sit next to each other, you find each other in the parking lot or in the coffee shops or, you know, in the kids' area, whatever it might be, and you get a chance to talk to each other. And here's what you discover. When you talk to each other, you discover that God came through. You hear stories about how God answered a prayer. Yeah. Or something's doing really, really well in your relationship that wasn't doing so well, 2 months ago. And so we see God's faithfulness. The interesting thing is that when you read the scriptures, we read scriptures of stories that didn't happen last week or last month, but happened hundreds, thousands, and thousands, and thousands of years. God's faithfulness. It's incredible that we place our hope in Jesus and God the Father, and through the Holy Spirit, we can experience his faithfulness in our life. Sovereignty, what a big word that is. Sovereignty simply means that God has a plan and he's going to work out that plan. We get to participate, but he's sovereign in the way he works that out. He is all-knowing and all-powerful and ever-present in all of that. It's just absolutely amazing. See, biblical hope is placed in someone. So today, it might be that you need to surrender the something that your hope is placed on, because that's misplaced. That's literally ordinary hope that we're talking about here. So that's the first thing. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on. Take a look at verse 11. He says this, "And we," that's all of us here together, "and we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness," meaning all the things that you're doing right and the fact that you're loving each other, loving God, do that same thing by having the full assurance of hope until the end. so that you may not be sluggish or lazy, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, I want you to notice something. So we need to study a little bit more here. So dig deep in here with me, if you will. In verse 11, it talks about the full assurance of hope. In verse 12, it talks about faith. The writer of Hebrews, I believe, is implying that faith and hope are related. And in fact, if you were to take your Bibles or, you know, and turn to Hebrews chapter 10, which you don't need to do, but in Hebrews chapter 10, the word full assurance is used there related to faith. So here in Hebrews 6, we see full assurance of hope. In chapter 10, full assurance of faith. It's the same original Greek word in both of those. As a matter of fact, that Greek word is only used in the Bible four times. Two of them are in Hebrews. Full assurance of hope and full assurance of faith. In chapter 6, which we just read, in chapter 6, when it says full assurance of hope, the next sentence talks about faith. In chapter 10, it says full assurance of faith. In the next sentence, it talks about hope. And you're like, well, that's really confusing. Well, let's make sure we understand this, because as I've been studying this, it didn't dawn on me the power of when you, because 35%, according to research, 35% of us have at least a lack of hope, maybe hopelessness. And we need to make sure we understand the power of what that does to our lives. Let me try to illustrate this if I can for you, because here's the second thing. Biblical hope is faith in the future tense. Did you get that? When we talk about hope, we're really talking about faith in the future. And they're connected together. Let me illustrate that. I think it might be helpful if I illustrate it, and then I'll tell you a story personally in my own life. See, faith is larger than hope, but hope is found in faith. Faith is when you trust God at His word. Hope is when you have full confidence and expectation that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. See that? Faith is trusting that what God says is going to happen, and hope says it's going to happen in the future, and I can walk towards that, and it's going to happen. No questions asked, it's going to happen. It's not like ordinary hope, which is uncertain. It's complete certainty. It's an expectation. Let me draw out a few more things about it. See, when we talk about faith and hope, faith deals with the past. Faith deals with the present, where hope deals with the future. Faith deals with not seeing. Hope deals with we will see it. Let me give you an example. How many of you, by raised hand in all of our campuses, come on, help me out here. By raised hand, how many of you believe that God created the earth, the world? Let me just see your hand. Raise them up high. I'm looking around. Look at the people that are next to you that don't have their hands raised up. We'll talk to them in a minute. I'm just kidding. And yet you didn't see that. That happened long, long time ago, and by faith, you believe that God said He created the earth, and we believe that because that's God's word, and we believe that it happened in the past. It was something in the past, and the things that happened in the present, we don't see it, but hope is in the future, and we will see it. Let me illustrate. This week, I had my grandsons. It was a little bit of a surprise. I didn't know they were coming into town until a couple of weeks. And this is a really, really busy week for me because we had our staff retreat where once a year we get all the staff together and we dream and we pray for you. We pray for all of our campuses. We talk about vision. We bring a speaker in and they help us out. We talk to ourselves and it's just a great time. So church, thank you for letting us as a staff do that. I think we're better for it as we serve you. And so it was a busy, busy week. In the beginning of the week, as my grandsons were there, my three-year-old grandson, Owen, he wanted to go to the zoo. So I said, Owen, we're going to go to the zoo on Friday, because Fridays is my day off. We're going to go to the zoo. Mimi and Pops are going to take you to the zoo on Friday. And so I thought, okay. So little Owen, by faith, he believed my words. And he began to place his hope that in the future, 5 days from now, because it was Monday, that we were going to go to the zoo and we were going to have a great time together. Friday came and we went to the zoo and we saw all kinds of animals. We had a great time and we just had a ball with my little grandson as he sees all these animals. As we're walking back to the parking lot, he says, Poppy, thank you for taking me to the zoo. You said we were, and I'm grateful that you took me. I mean, he's like that formal. It's unbelievable. This three-year-old kid We get to the airport, and there's a lady standing there, and I'm helping my daughter-in-law because she's got all these bags. And so he's standing there, and he looks at the lady and goes, "What's your name?" And the lady says, "Veronica." And he goes, "I'm Owen. It's really nice to meet you." I'm like, "Who is this kid?" He must come from my wife's side of the family, not mine. It's unbelievable that he knew that my word was good, and so by faith, he took me at my word, and he was hoping all week that we went, and he saw the zoo because we went there. Are you catching? This is what it is. Now watch this. If you're one of the 35% today that is lacking hope, hope will gut your faith. If you are hopeless today, it guts our faith. That's why hope is so important. That's why we hope in the future for what God is going to do, because he makes promises and he promises to us that things will get better. Let me say it this way. If you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, listen carefully online. This is as bad as it gets. There's going to be a day where it's all going to get better. Now, it may not be in our lifetime. I don't know. It may not be next week. I don't know. And that's the hard part, because we have an expectation. Boy, I'd sure love this to happen by February. But it doesn't sometimes. But we can know that it is going to happen in our life. That faith is hope in the future. It's important for us to understand that. Well, the writer of Hebrews goes on and he tells us this. So here's the thing that we need to know, that when faith is directed toward the future, you call it hope. And here's why. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So faith, past and present, are things that we don't see yet. Hope will be seen as we see it toward the future. Hope is faith in the present tense. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. Well, let's read on, because he gets to some really, really good parts here as well. So let's drop down to verse 13. So he says, verse 13, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you and multiply you.' And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for a confirmation." Let me tell you what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He's saying, look, if you want an example of hope, look no further than Abraham. Where God said to Abraham and Sarah when they were 75, "You are going to be the father of many nations. Your descendants are going to be like the sand on the seashore." And they're looking at each other going, "We don't have any kids." That's really an interesting promise of God. And they waited and they waited and they waited. Anybody know how long Abraham and Sarah waited? 25 years. Nikki Gumbel, who was the founder of Alpha Ministries, he says this, it's really good. Abraham waited 25 years. Joseph waited 13 years. Moses waited 25 years. Jesus waited 30 years to begin his ministry. He says, if God makes you wait, you are in good company. Nobody likes to wait, but I think Nikki is right. As we see this and we understand that God made a promise to Abraham, 25 years later, he had a son. And then God said, "I want you to take your son up on the mountain and I want you to sacrifice him." What? And you know, in obedience and by faith, he went up and was hoping that God would intervene, and God did. He intervened with an animal in the bush, and Abraham sacrificed the animal. And so the example here in Hebrews is by Abraham and having children and a descendants that will be forever and ever and ever. And we learn some really, really important things here. Here's number three, if you're jotting this down. Biblical hope is the absolute confidence that it will get better. It will get better. That's what the writer of Hebrews is drawing at. Just be patient. Keep waiting. Keep your focus on Jesus. Make sure that you allow hope to be part of your faith, and it's going to get better. As I said to you, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is as bad as it gets. Now, the flip side is really, really bad. That if you're here and you're not in a relationship with God, can I just be really honest with you? This is as good as it gets. This is as good as it gets. And so what great motivation for you to entertain the idea of coming into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ because of all that we have as we hope in God. Let's read on. As we see here, he uses Abraham as an example, but then he goes in verse 17. When God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So when God made an oath to Abraham, there was nobody higher than him, and so God swore on his own name. How many of you ever served jury duty? Anybody served jury duty before? Many hands have gone up here. I don't know about the other campuses. I was served papers where I had to go into jury duty, and so I went and I sat there. There was a bunch of people there, and the defense attorney was there asking a bunch of questions and came up to me, and this is a true story, came up to me and says, so what do you do? And I said, I'm a pastor. He said, you're dismissed. I didn't say anything. I don't know, maybe he thought I was think he was guilty. I don't know. So, but what I do know is if you stay, then you know the witnesses come in and they sit in a box and they raise their hand and I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. So the writer of Hebrews understands that you and I, as followers of God, can swear on his name because he's greater than us, and so he's unchangeable in character. Verse 18 says, it's impossible for God to lie. So if you have fled for refuge, meaning if you're in a relationship with God, hold fast, catch this, hold fast to the hope set before us. What is that hope? Here it is. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. As a matter of fact, let me add this piece to this, because you might be thinking, I don't want to wait 25 years. It needs to happen sooner than that, and I get that. I mean, my wife and I, we get that, as we have things in our life that we've been waiting and waiting and waiting on. But here's what I do know, because we've exercised it in our own lives, that as we're waiting for things to get better, when you place your hope in God, you're also injected with joy. And joy is what rises to the surface and the struggles of life. Am I right? And so if you're here today and you just, your heart is filled with a lack of hope, I would say hope in God, because it will inject you with joy. Well, there's one more that we have here, and it's picked up in verse 19. And this is really almost the best part as the writer of Hebrews gets to this. He says this, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. What do we have? A hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so what we have here is the promise that behind the curtain was the Holy of Holies, and you could only go behind the Holy of Holies, the high priest, once a year. The veil was torn in half at the crucifixion, and so Jesus Christ is our hope, and so he says here that hope is the anchor for your soul. Here's the last one. The anchor for your soul, and that's this. It's the stabilizing force. Hope is the stabilizing force. How is it the stabilizing force? Let me give you at least a couple things to think about. It's because hope is the reservoir that you can sip from that will keep you doing the right things. Hope is the barrier that will stop you from diving into pleasures that will destroy you. Hope is a reservoir, and it's a power that will help you to not dive into those pleasures. Hope is also the opportunity for us to absorb all the chaos that we see all around us. Because our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in another world. Right, church? So we can absorb chaos in our life. It's just that good. And so the truth is that if you're here today and you are hopeless, as we're hoping, we have God's goodness and God's redemptive plan and his word. But if you're here today and you're hopeless, let me show you why. It doesn't mean that you don't have hope. It just means you have the wrong hope. So if you're here and you're hopeless, you probably go through the day and say, I hope this changes. I hope he'll respond. I hope that, you know, the doctor gives me the good news. If you're hopeless, it's not that you don't have hope. You have the wrong hope. And secondly, if you're hopeless, it's because we have put our hope in something or someone that has not come through. Something or someone that has not come through. See, church, today, This whole message, the writer of Hebrews can be summed up really in one thought. The thought is, how do we find hope? Let me tell you, let's say this out loud. I'll start, I hope in God. I want you to say that out loud because I want you to preach that sermon to yourself all week long. Because you might be dealing with a situation or a circumstance and it's hard, it's heavy, and you're expecting God to come through, and I don't know what that expectation looks like, but here's what I know you can do. It'll inject joy in your life, and it'll give you the opportunity to place your hope in Jesus and to exercise faith and to know that it's going to get better and to realize that He is there. I hope in God. Church, I'll say it on all of our campuses, online. Here we go together. I hope in God. Bow with me. Father, we thank you for the writer of Hebrews. We thank you for all that you say through Scripture, that our hope can be found in you. I pray, Lord, for those today that are here, that, Lord, that you know are dealing with a sense of hopelessness. And so, Father, we come to you today and we ask that you would inject us with joy, and that you would help us to place our focus on you, on Jesus, our Savior. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you are worthy, that you are good, that you are all-knowing. We thank you, Lord, that as we wrestle through the struggles of life, that you're there for us. The promises of God are available. I pray that you'd guide us and lead us. We pray all these things as we hope in you, and the church said, amen. Amen.